What's up?
Hey.
And that's about Andrea Allen. What has been up this week with Andrea Allen? You can see her on camera. She's nude. She takes this very seriously and makes it exciting. And that's what's so good about associate producer Andrea Allen.
Thank you very much.
Andrea, let me ask you a few questions.
I'll give you some answers.
How did this week go for you, Keith and the Girl Wise?
Good, I think. I'm running a little bit on fumes because we have our first Hot Mess Comedy Hour live show. Mm-hmm. And so
you guys go all out when you do live stuff.
I'm seeing things on Facebook. Male comedians willing to dance with their shirts off. Give me a call. Send me dick pics. Just kidding. Just call me. Please, seriously, no dick pics. And then it goes on for like an hour. I regret that I said dick pics. I'm being completely serious.
I amend my earlier statement.
But it's all the same statement.
Yeah.
I mean, down to the fingernails. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
The fingernails, hold them up to the camera. They are the Hot Mess Comedy Hour colors.
Mm-hmm.
They match the logo.
My tits are also painted underneath this. I got them painted the colors for that. That actually did come up. Emily was like, why don't you flash the audience? And I'm like, really? I mean, I know we're not like so far above that, but are we above? Come on.
Like she doesn't have tits. Why don't you flash the audience?
We have the same tits also. It's not like one of us has the superior tits.
It's true.
They're exactly the same.
That is the number one thing that I learned on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour when I was the guest.
Oh, yeah. You saw our tits.
And not only did I see their tits, I took a picture. It was just me and tits.
Uh-huh.
I'll post that on my Instagram.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to, I actually have it saved to post like, hey, I'm going to Hot Mess this Saturday. And it's just me and you guys and your tits.
we got.
Yeah, hold on. I want to be clear. This isn't a Janet Jackson trick. These are honest to God nipples.
We had pasties on.
On Instagram, it has to be a Janet Jackson thing. But what I think what happened was I was recording you and Mike Kaplan, mm-hmm. and they wanted to see his response, so they just simultaneously took off their clothes.
We're like, hey, what if we whipped our tits out right now? Would you give a fuck? He's like, I don't know.
His head started spinning. Beep-o, uh-huh. Smoke out of his neck.
He was so unfazed.
It was so great.
God damn it.
They had it all ready. It's so funny. They get ready specifically for every guest. So if you're a guest on their show, you're going to have something special. Now imagine you're Mike Kaplan and your special thing is, will you respond? And everyone just flashes you.
We talked about my abortion and then we were like, you're not going to respond to that. How about our tits? Not that. I'm going to take a shit on your face.
And then they talked about like how they are. They've like looked at each other's tits and are just like, holy shit, your
they're
tits are exactly the same. And then I looked at them and you know what? They really are.
Can separate them in a lineup.
No.
Nope. I'm going to try. When you ladies plan for this Hot Mess Comedy Show, like you do, like you plan for shows that you have done before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever look at each other and go, we don't have to do all this extra stuff? Like, don't you think year three, Kiss was like, this fucking makeup again, these stupid boots again, if we just went out and played.
Mm-mm. But then they tried that and what happened?
No, they started with the makeup, so they had to stick with the makeup.
Right. Well, that's what we've already set the precedent. You know, we have the giant dicks. We started the meeting and I was like, I'll just go pick up, I'll get the props now so that we have them out. So we can decide which ones we want to use.
Where do you put the giant dick under your bed?
The giant dick is actually at one of the venues that we used to work with. But now,
just for clarity, the giant dick is a life-size dick that you guys cut out.
Human size.
Human size. You're the human.
Yes.
Then you wear it. So you look like a big old dick.
It's a barking technique. We sold shit out. Yeah, I like the...
I love it.
Well, with live shows, I'm like, I don't know. Especially like a live podcast, we were like, us just talking and then everyone staring seems like it would be kind of boring. Not that it's boring that we're talking, but they don't have necessarily like points to laugh at or punchlines. So why not bake a cake that looks like a dick and then throw it at the audience? You know what I mean? Like, why not?
Do I have to bring my own tarp?
Yeah. Is there a splash zone?
No, there's no splash zone. But okay. We did think about that. We were having these conversations. I don't know.
Hold on. So you're thinking, and then there's somebody's idea, we make a cake and throw it at the audience.
Yes.
And then you go, no, not that. But that was a very good thought.
Yeah. Don't you
it's
guys,
a safe space.
It's like when you, okay, it's kind of like the other day when you were like, I need a picture from Bishop Briggs's river that I jerk off to.
Right.
And then you send me like a professional work email, like, please, this video, 3 minutes and 10 seconds in is where it starts. Right. Select the most.
Make it your own.
Jerk offable.
Have fun with
still,
it.
Still. Right.
But it has to be after 3:10.
Yes. It's science.
Right.
This is our job. So I'm like, you know, the dick cake is a valid idea, but we have done dicks before. Right. We got to do something new.
You don't want to pigeonhole yourselves.
No, I need to get Billy Procida to wax my leg on stage. I need to do these
things. Is that
true? Who knows?
Oh, my God.
Maybe you should get your fucking tickets for this live show, assholes.
We both bought our tickets. Baby Butt is coming. Xerxes, I know, is coming. Like, so many people are coming. Mm-hmm. I bought, like, 5 tickets because I know.
Thank you.
I just want to, because I know that I have 5 friends who want to come who are going to wait until the last minute when it's sold out like idiots, and I'm going to have the ticket.
You're
going
to be a hero.
Guess who gets all the weed?
I do.
I don't know, but yeah.
That's a segment in the show. You all give me your weed.
We're going to shoot someone on stage. We're going to murder someone.
She goes, this isn't enough weed. I'm bringing out the dick cake. And they're like, here, I was holding out. Here's more weed. Thank you. Now let's wax legs or something.
The one thing that I liked.
This is a plan.
Uh-huh. Oh, we have a run of show. You don't even know how many documents I have created right now.
The dick documents.
Yeah, right? Sending various professional emails to Joe Firestone at 4 a.m. Hey, this is what we're planning on doing. Please take me seriously as a human being. We're playing a game of Would You Rather, but we're doing it live. So she has to deliver. We'll give her options that we have to do, and then she decides and the audience decides what we do.
And then you have to rather.
I had to do it. We had to do it.
Can we get, like, do you already have one option?
One of them that I love the most, which is not one of the more physical ones, is to post on your social media either a picture of my ass that I took, the one that I sent to my lawyer.
That's such a good one.
I don't know
one.
If you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, I don't know if you remember that. It's in show pics somewhere.
You accidentally sent it to your lawyer.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he forgot about it, too.
Yeah.
His wife forgot about it. The whole firm forgot about it. Every intern forgot about it.
Oh, they have it printed out somewhere, and they're just throwing darts at it. Or I post a series of photos that Emily took of me eating cat food when I was stoned. So there's 3 pictures. Mm. They're all gross.
I already know what I'm voting for. I'm so glad I'm in the audience.
What would you choose?
The ass pick.
Yeah, yeah. It's much more damning.
It's also like, that's the pick I think people want to see. Like,
people want?
What did you send to your lawyer? You're crazy.
Totally.
You already ate the cat food. Good piece.
But you're progressive. Like, so this is, you know, I think it'd be more for somebody who's not a goofy comedian. And then they have to explain to friends and family why there's pictures of somebody eating cat food or a strange ass.
It's not my ass, so I'm posting it on my own social media, on my own wall.
Oh, what do I care what you do? Your ass.
I'm sure. That's true.
That's a good one, though. Okay, I want to ask you about more, but I'm going to wait.
Saturday. You gotta wait. So yeah, it was funny. And I was like, well, what's another embarrassing thing I could post? And she's like, I do have a picture of you eating cat food. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't even know that I did. What was the reason? She's like, there was no reason. I'm like, so just eating cat food? Why do you hang out with me?
She's like, that was our last show when you ate cat food for a segment.
Can I borrow your pink and blue nail polish that are your show colors and put it on people before the show?
I got it done at a salon, so you're going to have to hire a salon.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want those colors.
But I'll get it for you so you can weirdly nail polish people you don't know in a venue.
I think the Hot Mess fans should have one, like a pinky one.
Like
one,
a Coke nail.
Yeah. Mm. Blue and pink Coke nail.
I like it.
I'm into it, and I would do it if you get me the nail polish because I'm too lazy to get it myself, plus colors.
Fuck yeah. Just,
I can't.
Face painting. Face paint dicks on people.
Andrea doesn't sound busy, so find out what electric blue it is, and then get it mailed by Saturday, and et cetera.
I mean, you know, if you can.
If you can, if it's in your wheelhouse.
After you look at the video past 3:10 and get him the jerk-off picture.
Well, that's taken care of, so half her workload is done.
Her workload. Those are,
yes. It was hard to go. There was a lot of good contenders for that picture. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's one when she's on the ground a little bit. It's hard to get her. She was sticking her ass out for one. I'm like, could it be that one?
Did you start getting into it?
No.
Okay, I don't know. You don't know what he's looking.
I'm a professional, Keith.
Good. All right. Good to hear. Because it was kind of a trick question. Good.
Yes, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
there's always a moment, like sometimes we're in the studio and Keith goes, oh my God, look at this. And I'm like, no, the answer's no. I know the answer's no. This is going to be an explicit thing on our site. Uh-huh. You know, I don't want to see this, but sometimes he'll get me anyway.
It's a Dick Fillet. It's like the Dick Fillet picture.
Mm-hmm. I never saw it.
I worked very hard to get the perfect Dick Fillet picture. You know how many times I stopped the video and went back and was like, oh, it's extra filleted there.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, kind of sometimes she thinks she doesn't want to see a pit bull eat a sleeping man's toes, but how is she going to know what it looks like if she doesn't see it?
Science, Hemda.
Yeah.
I have science in my brain. It's called imagination.
Yeah, I'm always better than your imagination, these pictures. I got to tell you, you wouldn't be shocked if your imagination was so good.
I think my imagination has 1,001 words.
Mm-hmm. What?
I don't know.
A picture's worth 1,000 words.
Okay. How was I supposed to get to that?
Because we're looking at pictures and he's saying it's more imagination.
That is such a tough one.
You know what? You know what? Write on the forums if you understood me before these idiots.
It's be inside or be outside, my understanding.
Yeah. Right. Fine. Right. If it's be inside or outside your understanding. Uh-huh.
And then how much pot is in your brain? Thank you. By the way, do you have a medical license?
Yes.
It's easy to get, I assume, right?
It's easy, but it's expensive.
How much?
Well, I have this doctor, and he's like, give everybody my card. What a fucking douchebag this guy is. And you know what? I'm not going to give you his card, because I saw him like very few weeks after my surgery, and I went there while I was still like healing, so people couldn't really hug me. I was very careful about it. Motherfucker talks to me for an hour about his family. He's so proud of himself. He like has a stepdaughter.
A drug doctor, what?
Yeah, he's so egotistical. He keeps dropping names. And I'm like, I don't know these rappers. You know, I guess they buy weed from you. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm here because it should be medical and you need to calm down a little bit more than me about this, right? So he's dropping names. Then he's like so proud of himself that like his stepdaughter recently came out and said she was gay and like, he was like, you know, and I'm totally cool with it. And I'm like, now I got to give you fucking brownie points for being cool with the gays. Like, go fuck yourself. Then and I'm like trapped in front. I started getting so hungry. I left. You know, I'm just like, I, you know, finish whatever the fuck you want to do. And then he's doing everything like old school. Like, he's putting my information into this typewriter. You know, practically. And I'm just like, ugh. And then I get these mailers from him. It's only once a month, but they're the worst. They're like mailers like from people who still send out from like AOL.
Yeah, like when you go on their website and there's clip art on there.
Yeah.
And get the fuck out of here.
And it's just like dun dun dun.
Yeah,
look
yeah,
at
yeah.
This. Look at this.
A gallon of milk is talking to you. Welcome.
Yeah. I'm like, don't you see other people's websites? Like, you see yours and then you see other people's.
I truly believe that he thinks his is snazzy because in the 80s, this was amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, people get really stuck there. So I get that. And then at the end, I'm just pissed at him. I also paid $250 because there's very few people that you can maybe connect with, or maybe I just didn't know or whatever. $250. I can only go to medical places and they cost way more than everything that I can get, you know, on my own. So they're still forcing people to do it. You know, there are stores that are open, but they're forcing people to get it illegally because it's ridiculous. There's not actual weed. There's only tinctures. There's shit like that, right?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Why not make all the money? You know,
well, legally you're not allowed yet. Okay. So it's like this whole thing with upstate New York keep fighting us on this shit. So then I go to leave and I'm like so fucking done with this guy. And he gives me a hug like we've been bros for years. And he squishes where my fucking surgery just happened.
Jesus.
I yell. He's so fucking fat. He can't hear me because his ears are clogged with garbagey shit that he keeps telling himself that he's so great.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You ever met someone with fat ears? Like,
yes.
You can't go beyond yourself. You just have fat in your ears. You're just a fat ear fuck.
A lot of doctors are like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had a doctor that I was dealing with my ulcer. And his office was a fucking mess, but he had all like the Harvard, you know,
plaques.
Graduation plaques and things like that. But he was just
like, he wearing the Harvard t-shirt that Keith has?
No, but like essentially. And he would just kind of yeah me and like, and I did this and this study. I'm like, it hurts. Shut up. And then his receptionist would not give me my results and then like forget. And I'd call back. I called back so many times till I eventually like found her email elsewhere. I emailed her being like, you've had my results for 2 weeks. Like sauna, like it's like scans where it's like, you could find some serious shit. Call me back. I'm trying to be polite. And then he sends me like a sassy message through the medical portal, like, please do not. It's not my assistant's fault. I'm like, what?
It's not your assistant's fault that you're asking.
She doesn't pick up her fucking phone.
Just, I'm asking for medical shit. Yeah. Also, don't fucking hug me.
Yeah.
You're my doctor. And when I was first out of surgery, I made sure that my shirt was open to show the scar, the fresh scar, because what happens is I'm out and I look normal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people start bumping into me and like, you know, doing shit. So when they see a visible bright red scar, you know, they're more careful. Not this fuck. Mm. Not this fuck. Just crushes me with all his weight.
Jesus.
And I was like, that go fuck you. Where's his name? I will find his name. Fuck you. And
I'm gonna kill him on stage on Saturday.
He's such a dick. He also you know, he's well into like the chapstick with his name on it, the lotion with his name, like everything has his name on it. All of his art around the studio is, I guess, people who bought weed from him who are famous. Like, you're a doctor. I know so much about his life. I bet you ask him about my life and he doesn't even know why I'm taking weed. Meanwhile, I have a neuromuscular disorder.
Yeah.
Please. Squish me after my open heart.
Well, is
fuck he, face.
Is he like one of those doctors where the weed is like his primary thing? Like in California, how it's like doctor, like, and then the business card is all like green font. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Good Time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dr. Heal Your Soul. Great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But at least in California, they charge you like $75. Like, look, there's a charge for me to sit here. But $250.
Listen to your lie, say and then be like, here's weed.
Yeah. And he wanted like real things. Luckily, I had a couple of them. But he acts like he wouldn't fudge it for you, but he would. He's dying to, you know. Yeah. He acts like he's like, this is very, very real, which it is. But he's the kind of doctor that makes this very, very real thing be like this cool fucking, I'm a weed doctor.
The rappers, that's so creepy.
Ew, wah. Anyway, how's your week, Andrea?
Good. I mean, I'm dying, but whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah, you have issues.
Yeah, whatever. There's always a problem. I don't know. I have some medical. I've got some. My gut hurts. I think I have a bladder infection. I don't have a bladder infection. I don't know. I'm just going to get the whole bottom half of my body. I'm doing the peg thing. I'm telling you. It's going to be better long term.
It all comes down to pegging.
Yeah.
Yes. Do it, folks.
I don't know. It's like, you know, when you have a medical problem and all the tests don't tell you anything. Yes. And so it's just like, okay, well, great. I'll just suffer.
I'm going through that now. I pooped in a fucking cup.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the blood test that you would take for that. So, okay. And then they could show more. I took an x-ray. They saw that something was wrong, but they needed more. Now, my other doctor doesn't want to include this in the next scan. I got to go to a different guy. And all this stuff, I need like, I need clearance from my insurance. I need to get the thing from my primary doctor for the recommendation. And like, it's been months and my stomach is fucked up like more often than it
should
be. Yeah,
now you just live this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, and so I tell my doctor, I'm like, I'm eating differently. So it's like getting better. So she goes, oh, then forget it. And I'm just like, come on. Like, come on. She's like, you don't want to go to the gastro person. I'm like, guess what? Now I do.
Yeah. What do you? I don't want to. I don't want any of this. What? Is that your solution? It may be cancer, but leave. I mean, I know I'm a hypochondriac. I'm definitely very aware of that, but it is like debilitating pain to the point that I didn't leave the apartment over the weekend when I had things to do. Like, you guys know me. I'm fucking running around. If I'm lying in bed, shit's real. So it's just, I don't know. It's like with your knee, do you just like go to doctors over and over again? And they're like, we'll do a thing. And you're like, that's great.
I need to, I'm just not ready to take the time off. Not that I'm nervous about it, but I just need to have surgery sometime.
Yeah.
Oh, let's coordinate that then.
Okay.
I'll get my peg surgery at the same time. We'll all do it. You could get a peg.
I do have pain pills and I'd go to get a refill and then they make me do a piss test. Like, oh, did you smoke weed recently? And I'm like, it looks like I did. And they go, yeah, you can't do that. I'm like, okay, see you soon.
Yeah, you're not going to give me meds. You don't give me anything but meds.
Right. Yeah.
You give me half information, full meds.
Yeah. Oh,
Keith, this is the third time you test the positive for weed. Oh, again, I can't do that. Okay, see you later.
Right.
Are you thinking of getting a medical card?
Yes. Yeah, I really like these gummies.
Oh, do they sell gummies in the store here yet?
I have no idea.
I don't know that they do. But we can get some stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
We know Rastafarian.
Right.
Across the table that has access to some good shit. I think I know where we could get weed.
And guess what? 2018, which is around the corner in Massachusetts, they'll have recreational weed.
That's pretty sweet.
In where?
Massachusetts.
That's a trip.
It's 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's getting closer and closer.
It's creeping up.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a whole new world. Picture all these assholes you run into. Now picture them all high. You know how you get stuck in Times Square because no one will move? Mm-hmm. Now picture everyone's high.
But that's the thing. Nobody moves. But now nobody doesn't care.
Okay.
Nobody does care.
I'm sure you're not gonna frustrated get nuked
before
at all.
That anyway. So all we're right. Fine.
Yeah, Keith, just remember, we're all about to die. Either with a hurricane or a nuke or whatever. Yeah. And I think that is what's up, eh?
Do you remember, speaking of your stand-up, do you remember the first time you were ever on stage?
Yeah, I do. It was at the Creek in the Cave. And I actually followed a good friend of mine, Shaq Stanley, who was well into his career then and really good.
Did
and
you know him then?
No, I didn't know anyone. He was like beloved also. So he went up and just like, crushed. I was doing jokes about looking at butts and stuff, and I was like, nice. And then I think I went up, I did a joke.
I showed him the picture that I sent my lawyer.
I've done that before. I did a joke about the premise of the joke. I remember it's so funny when you think something's going to be so funny and it is completely not. Like, right. In your mind, you're like, this is going to be fucking great. The premise was...
You say you don't look around, you're taking bows.
Yeah, you're like, just wait for it. The premise was there's a girl in a college that I knew who sucked a homeless man's dick. It was drunk and sucked off a homeless man in a bathroom. And everybody found out and like shamed her. And she eventually left the school because she was so embarrassed by the whole affair. And my clever punchline was like, I think she's a fucking hero. There's homeless men asking for change, but this one's willing to suck their dicks. What a fucking bitch.
Do you think there should have been more words instead of bitch?
I mean,
where were you like, do I stop now?
After zero response completely.
But you finished your full
Sure, I did
thought.
The set. Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. I bombed, but like I wasn't expecting, you know, I kind of partially was expecting to like crush because that's like, you're an idiot.
No, but I get why, because telling this story like amongst your friends or in like a random situation, it's so much funnier because they're not like, oh, Andrea's about to tell something that like will absolutely be funny. You're just telling a story and oops, you're funny.
Yeah.
So different.
I was at a show last night, about 10 people, small bar, and the guy tells his jokes. No one's getting into it at all. And then the guy goes, this is the first time this never worked. I think it's you guys.
Shut up.
As though I'm supposed to respond to that. Like,
You're right.
I just finished. I'm eating my sandwich. Like, okay, sounds good.
Damn.
Wow.
Sorry, we all agree and never met each other.
It's just, the thing is, you know, I think that's when the comic does the thing that they're telling the audience not to. Like, it looks like the comic's talking to you, but don't talk back. The comic has to remember that also. It looks like the audience has everything to do with you. Has nothing to do with you. Be quiet. They break that wall because they get nervous.
Yeah, and they don't...
I don't blame, like, I know that's happened to me before.
It's the comics that confuse the hecklers, especially at these shows where, because it's so small, they do want feedback, quite frankly. They'll be like, I was at a gym. Hello? Nobody's ever heard of a gym?
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, twice a week, I try to do better. Yeah. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's a defense mechanism. I used to say things like, you guys know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or if things wouldn't go well, I'd be like, ooh, I guess I'm alone in that. Like, it's a self-conscious, quick jerk reaction. But it's so unprofessional. Like, I remember I started recording my sets early on and I noticed myself doing these things. And it sounds so cringeworthy hearing it back. Like, a joke not landing and me being like, just me? But I guess you guys never... Like, no.
A $600 billion industry and I'm the one.
Right. And it's like, no, you're not delivering the joke well. Or your stage presence is weird. Or they don't want to hear... Just listen to what's funny and work on that part instead of going into this weird... It blows me away when people do that, especially when someone's bombing who's experienced. Like, shouldn't you know better... by then, not to just bring down this whole room,
right.
Not just like take the bomb gracefully. If there's something you can learn from it, learn from it. If it's truly just like you're having a bad set, then you had a bad set. Like this show that you were at too, I think you said I've done this show before. It's in a restaurant and bar, and if the audience can get into it, it's fun, but it's kind of an ambush show in a way. Like if you're in that restaurant and you don't know there's a comedy show, Now you're in this show.
And the thing is most times, I think when first of all, New Yorkers go out all the time because we're not really cooking as much, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to talk to this other person.
Yeah.
And now you're asked to be quiet. And the whole point of like somebody else making the meal for you is to connect with this person you came with. Boom, there's a show.
Yeah, you're asked to be quiet and then they talk to you and then you talk back and they're like, fuck off.
But if you don't talk back, oh, I'm alone here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Yeah,
pass the salt.
Ugh. I hate it. And that's why I think a lot of people don't like comedy, because things like that happen and they think that's what it is.
And a comedian, I think it's because I give the comedian the full attention. So if they make eye contact with me, we're making eye contact. I'm not staring them down like a weirdo, but another audience member might, look at the food and, not want to. And I'm like, no, I'm looking at you. And then they try to include me.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a team. We didn't practice anything. Where is this going to go?
Yeah.
A guy was telling a story about a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I go to the gym and they have this machine and he's like pushing his, like, let's say the back of his hands were touching and then he like pushes them out.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, what's this machine? And he happened to know me. And he goes, Keith, you look, and that's why he felt comfortable including me. But where could it go?
Right.
And he goes, Keith, you seem like a guy that would work out. What's this machine?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the thigh buster. He goes, no, it's for your arms. The arm buster. He goes, no, Keith, it's for your chest. I'm the chest buster.
Like, when is this end?
Right. And he goes, are you making that one up? And I'm just thinking, like, is this all part of your act? And I'm not saying the right word. And
that would be so good, though.
Yeah, like, he's like, with the chest buster. Like, where is this fucking going? So I go, the chest buster? And he goes, are you making these up? I'm like, and I say this, I'm just trying to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he goes, and his joke has nothing to do with an audience member. So why did you include them?
Yeah. It's a...
Don't include them. And then they get confused yelling something out when you're doing an HBO show.
It's a novice move. And it's a shame when I see comedians who are past that doing stuff like that. Because it's like, it's not going to save it.
I know, but
it's not going to save it.
That's why I think it's like one of the hard... There's, I could sing on stage whenever. The podcast is easier because I have like Keith on there. But it really is like you are by yourself. And the fact that you're saying, I'm going to make you laugh. I'm not going to entertain you. Entertaining you is one thing. I'll entertain you. You'll get sad. You'll laugh. You'll whatever. But I'm going to make you laugh. That like automatically goes, yeah. Go ahead, make me laugh. It's the worst position.
And it's also how you're introduced.
Yeah.
This is a very funny person. Here we go.
Yeah.
And also, when you're out on like a stage and you're a dancer, you learn the moves, you all practiced it. And like, there's, if you fall down, you still did all those other moves,
And
there's something different about it. I don't know.
But comedians have moves too. And they acquire them as they get better.
Yeah. But we see them at all different kinds of stages.
So, totally.
Yeah. And that's another thing. You were just talking to Sean Donnelly, who was in here, and you were both saying that, a mistake is to come to New York first. In Chicago, you can be a novice. And then in New York, you'll be better because if New Yorkers see you at this level, it's hard for them to undo it as you get better. And then they just assume that you're the novice that they saw before. So, and I used to do that to comics. And I'm like, you know what? They need to like bomb sometimes on stage in front of me. And I still need to believe that they're funny because you always have that moment.
So yes, Chicago, they'll talk to each other, say you're shitty, but Then you go to the city that you appreciate and you'll be ready.
Well, I think some people come to New York and they aren't ready, and that's really hard. Like comedian out of towners come, I see them and they try all this material that they're used to just getting all like uproarious laughter.
Hey guys, are we in the Windy City or what?
Like, you know, travel puns, whatever. Okay. Mediocre shit. And also very, there's a realness to New York comedy. Not like, that sounds hacky, but people are very, very true to themselves on stage. People don't like artifice here in their comedy, really, unless you're doing like a character or something. You're doing something structured that's artificial. So I see a lot of comedians who come in from out of town and they'll do something like kind of hacky or like, I saw a crazy person on the train. I must be in New York. And people just stonewall them because the bar is so high here, you know? It's just like, so I do think that it's nice to like get your feet wet in another city, but there is a flip side of the coin of like being a big fish in another city, coming here and being like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Everyone here is so good. They're seeing through all of my obvious premises. They can tell I'm nervous on stage. That's another thing too, is that like when you're trying to control a room, if the audience can sense that you're panicking, like that guy was doing or not doing well or self-conscious, you're dead. You know?
They will rob you and kill you.
Yeah, you're dead.
Welcome to New York, assholes.
If you keep doing the weird crowd worky blaming shit, you're double dead. And then everyone else is dead from then on. Like the amount of work that it takes to bring everybody back to not feeling like shit about it is so... I had a host on a show who was so fucking terrible, and all the comedians looked at each other and were like, oh, fuck. We're going to have to undo what was just done. Right. Half our set is going to be spent being like, hey, we're not the enemy. And then maybe I can do two jokes.
Great.
Maybe. So
you go on stage and you go, yeah, I just got here. What'd I miss? Woo! And then get right into it. I wish my food was done. And then he goes, hey, you go to the gym. And I go, oh, you fucked up. And just leave.
Good. I hope so too. Don't. Yeah. Don't do crowd work that you have no intention of finishing too. That's another thing.
Right.
What did you have planned?
Right.
Here's a question. Did you think of an answer? Were you thinking maybe like if I'm going to do crowd work, I will be like, I'm going to talk to this person. They might say any of these possible things. I need to be prepared for that and have an idea of where this is going to end.
Yeah, that was just panic, unfortunately. Yeah.
You do the thing.
It just needs somebody to say they go to a gym so that people know what gyms are. You go to a gym, sir? No? No one here goes to a gym. Fuck. Well, I was at a gym, but you probably don't know what one was. Fuck.
I'm usually great, and I'll fuck you all trying to live your life. Shut up.
I think the lesson here is that we all need to go to gyms.
Sure.
Right. And be ready with the equipment names when we're trying to be not only entertained, but blah, blah, blah.
I think you just taught us the gym names. I think we're good now. The chest thing.
The busters. Buster. There's a lot of busters in my gym. Buster Browns. And you have the leg buster, calf buster. All but they have a neck buster, believe it or not.
You should have just come up on stage and started doing stand-up in the middle of a set.
Go on stage and go, good question. The way you're saying it, looks like you're using your triceps and your biceps.
Mm-hmm. The tricep bicep buster?
You should spend less time in the gym and spend more time actually doing comedy instead of just weirdly busted. Fucking oh. Roasting people Ooh. That you know that are your only allies. Fuck off.
So then he told his joke, which had nothing to do with my response.
Oh, good. Great.
And then I stood up with standing ovation.
How cool. Great. I've bombed that way. I'm not above it, but... Come on. Come learn on. Learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to be sad when they don't include me. Mm. There's no way to win. There really isn't. There really isn't. All right. So let me tell you something. Go see this show with Andrea. Bring a raincoat. You never know. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a good time.
I am so looking forward to this.
Thank you very much.
Very Thanks. Exciting.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, what's an easy link? Like just in case they're in under something.
What if I didn't have it?
I've been very busy, okay? It's andreacrowdwork.org.
No, it's if you go to my Instagram or the Hot Mess Comedy Hour Instagram, the link is in the bio of our pages. It's like a ticket fly link, so they're not short. But thank you for All coming.
Right. Are any of those words?
Nope. Okay. Whatever.
All right. We'll see you there then. What's up?
Hey.